Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Good afternoon, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here. Another exciting program of Two Guys with Heart. Me and my very good friend,
Dave Colonen.
Dave, we have a good one for our listeners today. You know, we started a new venue yesterday, and I want to follow in that suit. We were talking about all life's lessons and how to defeat loneliness and the real purpose for pain and the hidden reasons for the seasons that Satan attacks each one of us and how to create current of favor with others and all of these little things that life throws at us, little questions, little statements that are made. And how we react to those things. It's life's great vision and wisdom keys, as I like to refer them. And I found a whole list of those things. And I just think it's nice to discuss those. And as we try to share with our listeners some of these thought processes, that maybe, just maybe, you and I can inspire someone driving down the road right now. They're going through the radio listening for a good Christian radio station, and they find Giff and Dave on here talking about these things. Maybe we can inspire those people to become better. Or maybe there's a housewife at home sitting there in her kitchen or in her living room listening to the radio thinking, I wonder if these guys are going to share God's good news with me today. And I want to be the person that fills that line item for them. And I think we can do it with this program. We have a lot of good material here. What do you think? You want to give it a try?
You bet.
All right. Well, let me throw some at you here, and we'll see what sticks. Here's an expression that we've always used. Those who cannot increase you will inevitably decrease you. What does that mean to you, Dave?
If you always follow people who are the down and out, you'll soon be like them and be down and out. You have to find people that you can lift. And when you want to be great, you got to find some great people. I'm mentoring some people in my home, and I'm trying to get them to see that they have to. It's like we did some programs. You got to know great people. You have to have great thoughts. You have to have great books. You have to have great sermons. You have to, you know, the life, that's what it is. Life is full of greatness, and you can go as far as you want to. If you're lazy, I don't need that.
Don't need it. Yeah.
I'm happy where I'm at. Do you want to speak at the church? No. Do you want to give a testimony? No. You want to sing a solo? No. Are you coming? Maybe not.
That's right. So the idea is to surround yourself with good people is what you're saying.
Who will teach
that makes
you.
Makes good sense, yes.
Who will teach you something.
Yes.
When I find a pastor that knows how to preach, I'm sitting on the edge of my seat trying to find what he's trying to say to me to help me live out my life better than I have before.
Yeah.
I don't think you ever go to someplace else until you're tired of where you are, or sometimes you just, it's like when I was in the couriers, Dwayne's got a bad voice, so we resigned for a short time.
Yeah.
And I went on the road with my family. And we decided, somebody invited us to go to Barbados, an island that's a big resort area. And I thought, people say, oh, Dave, that's not missionary work. That's a big, famous island. You're going down there to live on the beach and swim in the ocean. Man, it was a task. We were reaching to build our church, and, you know, a man called me after 3 years and said, would you like to come to Iowa? And that's just what we're talking about.
That's what we're talking about.
You will never leave where you are until you decide where you would rather be.
That's right.
And I said to myself and my family, Iowa, we'll never go to Iowa. Come on. We are not farmers. We are not lovers of pigs. And we don't know anything about corn and beans. But, you know, that's how you get ahead in life.
You didn't when, go to Iowa.
Oh, God called us to Iowa. And no matter what we did, we couldn't get out of it. Once we said a little bit of yes, God said, okay, man. I'm going to put you here, and you're going to put your feet in and get wet.
How about that? And how long were you in Iowa?
I was there for 7 years.
So you were in Barbados for 3 years and then Iowa in 7 years. Wow.
You know, in those days, you never stayed in a church more than 4 years.
Yeah, right.
Remember how that used to be? Every 4 years you got rid of your pastor.
Yeah, that's right. You rotated.
And that changed to where now guys stay till the end of their life. If they're 80 years old, and then they can still preach, they're going to be the pastor.
That happens, yeah.
So I told the Lord that I would stay there for 7 years, and I didn't get a call for 7 years. God never let the phone ring.
Yeah, right. Never didn't happen. So you knew where you were supposed to be.
Yeah, that's right.
That's outstanding. Wow. So you had a success there. You will only have a significant success with something that is an obsession. And I have a feeling that when you were standing in the pulpit, this was an obsession you had to sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus with all your parishioners. And how many people did you have in your congregation?
Hey, in Barbados, I went there because their church had a split. And half of the church left and built another church. There's two big churches in Barbados because the big one split.
Okay.
So they must have been running around 1,000 people. Oh. And when I left 3 years later, we were up to 5,000.
Wow.
And that's what even made it harder to say, Lord, do I want to go to Iowa? And you know, when I went to Iowa, they had lost 3,000 people because of all the farm machinery leaving town.
Yeah.
And the church was running 4,000 and 3,000 left.
Wow.
And everything that I did in Barbados, I redid.
Wow.
In Iowa. Amazing how God puts things together.
Yes.
He looked all over America and said, Dave Colonna and his family are the only people that could do what needs to be done in Iowa. And there we were. You'll only have significant success with something that really becomes an obsession to you.
That's right. That's exactly right.
What kind of a program have you put together?
Oh, yeah.
We're talking about stuff.
Oh, it's fascinating, though. It's fascinating. The pearls of wisdom we're sharing with our listeners is of great inspiration. And sometimes they wrestle with these things. What am I going to do next? How do I know if the Lord wants me to do this? And, you know, you're waiting for that hidden voice to come out at you. And it always doesn't happen that way. It's not necessarily a whisper. It could be just a kick in the shins, too. Hey, this is what the Lord wants you to do. Let's get to it. That's just how life is. It's not good life or bad life. It's just life. Give another what he cannot find anywhere else, and he will keep returning. And that's another expression that we've used over the years. To me, it's a demonstration of love and kindness, and that can be related to your job. Give another what he cannot find anywhere else, and he will keep returning. It's like your job, isn't it? If you really find a job that you like, you just keep returning. You keep going back, and you keep doing it again and again and again. And love, kindness, the good things that you do, whether it be people or it could be animals for that matter. When you see your dog who loves you very much, and the tail's wagging every time you walk into the room, you know, that's a kindness that people can't express as well as a dog or an animal can sometimes. Things like that, or I don't have any pets myself, but I understand people who do because that kindness that they experience, and that's love.
You know, this week, my pastor, my son-in-law, Mike Hammer, from Celebration, he planned for a whole year how to go to Wisconsin to his old buddies and do some hunting. And he planned a big week around it. And his parents live in Wisconsin now. That's where the Packers are and the football team. And Mike's going to do it all together. Planned the biggest week of his life. And when he's getting ready to jump in the car, then he found out that one of the significant parishioners a lady who is the Lady of Celebration. She died.
Oh, my.
And everybody excused Mike and said, Mike, go anyway. Yeah. And then it befell my lot to say, Dave, you're going to be the preacher for the funeral. Wow.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, the Lord doesn't forget what he, when you learn something and you are available, God will find the place for you to fit that, what he has given
you.
That's
exactly right.
That's tomorrow. I'm going to preach the funeral for
yes.
Jeanette Albert.
Okay, yeah.
You know, when the Couriers came to town, she and her husband came to every concert.
Did they?
For this is over 50 years ago.
Oh, my.
Back in the 60s, early 60s. Yeah. And then one day when we were going to put a church up in Dillsburg, Pastor Mike said, you know, God called us to Dillsburg to live in. Let's build a church here. So we got the church going, and we'd been only, we hadn't even started yet, I think. And I went to a Dan Albert's place of business. He helped me sign some papers that were important. And when we got all done with our business, I said to Dan, I know you've been coming to our concerts for a long time, but my son-in-law and myself, we are going to start a church next week right here in Dillsburg. Well, his face lit up like everything. And he said, you're kidding me. And I said, yeah, if you can possibly make it, try it. See what we're doing, see what we're all about. 11 years later, he has never missed a Sunday.
Is that right?
He and his lovely wife have come, so they are significant in our church.
Absolutely.
Tomorrow we're burying his wife.
Oh, my.
And they've been married for 44 years.
Yeah.
God, what you've learned to do, God finds a place for you to use it.
That's right.
That's what you need to do. What you're going to learn tomorrow and today, God will allow that to come into your life to use it.
Yeah.
He's prepared. I'll find him. And, man, when you've been in the ministry a long time and yeah. God finds you to do something for a family that you love and appreciate, only God could work that out.
Yeah.
Only God.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's just a miracle. My hat's off to you for your persistence, and I know that you'll do just fine in that service tomorrow. Well, let's continue here. Your assignment is not your decision, but your discovery. Your assignment is not your decision, but your discovery. How about right here on WPFG? Is this our assignment? I think it's a discovery.
Yeah. Remember the day we talked about doing this?
Yeah. Oh, my. It's way back.
I said to you, you know, I've been doing It's Still Good News all by myself.
Yes.
Why don't we do something together?
And yeah.
I forget who named us, Two Guys with Heart.
I remember who it was.
Was it my wife?
It was your wife. It was Judy.
Okay, Judy said, why don't you, just two old men, and you got a lot of heart, so let's hear it. And
yeah.
We got down here and got the microphones in front of us, and we've been doing it ever since. And
that's
been
right.
Several years, hasn't it?
Yeah, several years. That's our assignment. Our assignment in life.
Right.
Yes, and this radio station has been a very significant part of our lives. Wow. Well, you know, and we don't let the boredom or anything of that nature take over. When fatigue walks in, faith walks out. So we have to keep that in mind. We have to keep busy. And I'm not too tired to do anything. It's not that I don't want to come up with excuses. Excuses are not factors. I want to speak to the facts. And I'm not going to let fatigue be a reason to fail or not do something. Oh, I'm too tired. Hey, I know we're a couple of guys in our senior years, but as long as we have some fire in the furnace, baby, we're going to make sure that it glows. That little light of ours is going to shine. Do we have a song like that when we were kids? I forget how it goes. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Something like, isn't that a child song? Or?
Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
That's right. We sang that's 65 years ago. We're going to let it shine until light
Jesus
goes out.
Comes.
That's exactly right.
Right.
All right. If what you hold in your hand is not enough to be your harvest, make it your seed. Boy, that reminds me of Mike Murdoch. You know that guy? He's talking about the seed all the time. Let me throw that at you again, Dave. If what you hold in your hand is not enough to be your harvest, make it your seed. What do you think about that line?
You have to, when you're pursuing a new adventure, it's amazing that you do it and forget what people think about it. I just went to church on Sunday, and it was to my grandson's first church.
Okay.
He organized a church in the middle of Philadelphia.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. You did tell me it was happening.
I went down there on Sunday.
Yeah, how'd that go?
Well, I was shocked out of my shoes because downtown Philadelphia, you know, Philadelphia is going to be bigger than New York City. It's growing by leaps and bounds.
Yeah.
So many thousands of people are coming into Philadelphia, it's going to be bigger than New York City.
I didn't know that.
In, well, 10, 15 years when you and me are gone. But we were following the phone and the little map. And we got to the building, and the building was a comedian club where every night people come and have their drinks and eat, and they have a comedian. Well, everybody in Philadelphia knows where that is. So the church had immediately set in motion. You'd say, well, we're going down to the club to have our church. Well, the whole town.
Yeah.
Knows about it.
They all know about that.
And I thought, my goodness, here I am in a kind of a nightclub, if you want to call it that.
Sure.
Where,
yeah.
And we're starting a church.
Well, that's your seed.
It's a concept that 50 years ago we would have laughed at and said, oh, you forget that noise. We're not going in. We're not going in there to have church. Are you kidding me?
I remember there was one of those television evangelists, and I just forgotten his name offhand, but I remember that he went down to Bourbon Street in New Orleans, and Bourbon Street in New Orleans is one of those places that's noted for a party life and a barroom atmosphere or something like that. And he went inside one of these barrooms and started preaching. And he says, you don't go into the churches where the people are already saints. He says, you go to save people who are sinners. And that was his philosophy. That was one of those TV evangelists. I just forgot which one it is. So maybe he had the same idea that your son-in-law or your grandson has.
The kids have a whole different concept of church.
Oh, yeah. That this is where they are. Yeah.
I was amazed that my grandson, he's like 32 years old, I think. And I was just interested to see if he could preach.
Yes.
Well, he got up and read the Bible, and then he preached for over 30 minutes.
Okay.
He never said, or he didn't stumble.
Didn't
stumble on anything. He didn't, he rattled my cage.
He did a good job then.
And I said to him after it was over, I said, Elijah,
yeah.
I want to congratulate you because at 32, you have already learned what great preachers have already learned.
Yes.
You've learned it at 30. Some guys don't catch on until 50.
Yes, that's right.
But you have learned how to preach without having to say or preach 50 times, saying
or
whatever it is that you do.
Yes.
Your mind works as fast as your ability. Some guys, they can't spit it out fast enough.
That's right.
And when it was all over, I said, Elijah, when you're 52, I hope I'm still around this 20 years from now, I'll be 110. You will be, if the Lord hasn't come yet, you'll be a master at the pulpit.
Yes, he will be.
And I was amazed he did not have one note.
Is that right? Now,
No notes. He didn't even have like a pulpit.
He usually carry a 3x5 file card at least. Yeah. Is that right?
And it was, I said, look, I said to Judy, I said, sweetheart, Elijah's preaching without notes, and he's not humming around. He is saying every sentence right on the money and producing it big and fast and loud and soft and with.
So he was practicing. He was practicing. Yeah, he had to be.
So I'm expecting great things out of that kid.
I like that. Now, see, that's a good response to the question I threw at
you. So if you want to start a church, get the nightclub.
Hey, that's where the people are, and that's where you need to be. Yeah, you need to be where the people are.
Oh, I hope.
Okay.
They don't call me down to the nightclub to preach.
Okay, let me throw one more at you. We're time is being pushed here. You will never change what you believe until your belief system cannot produce something you want. Boy, that's a mouthful, isn't it? I'm going to say that one again. You will never change what you believe until your belief system cannot produce something you want. That's just plain ambition to me. What do you think, Dave?
I'm going to my library all the time now, more so than when I was on the road singing. Okay. I didn't have to learn how to, because we're at a different crowd every night. You could say the same thing twice if you wanted to, but when you pastor, you have to come with the goods Sunday and Wednesday, and you know, you have to have the ability. I thank God every day for my library. I tell my wife, I have those books and they're worth $1 million to me.
Yeah.
And the valuable.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's where I go to be able to do when I'm bored with so far. Like the other day I went down and I didn't take the time to pick the books. I just grabbed five and took them and ran to my seat and sat down and said, I'm going to read these five books, at least nab in them. Man, I tell you,
Is that what you do?
That's what I do.
You'll pick up five books at a time?
Then I take them back and put them in here and grab five more with my eyes shut. That way God can lead me, and I don't go in there and say, yeah, that looks good. Yeah, no. Yeah. When I pick up those five books and I start opening them one at a time, and if I don't like it, I put it down and grab up number two. Yeah. And when you got 500,000 books, you
can do that.
I haven't. People give me books all the time and fill my, you know, my library, and I just set them in there. I don't even look at them for some time.
Yeah.
And when I am out of information,
yeah,
I can read those five books. And when I go up the stairs to see Judy, she knows something happened to that guy.
Yeah.
Listen at him. He wants to talk. He wants to say something. I can't even get in a word in edgewise. We're going to dinner, and here's Dave. He's full, you know?
You want to tell her everything you learned, man, yes.
She's the only one who's going to listen, because I'm not in the pulpit anymore.
That's fascinating. Yeah. And I wish I could read as much as you do. I don't. I mean, if I read a book a week, I'm happy. You read five a day.
Oh, not a day, but I read five books a week.
Yeah, do
sure.
you?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's wonderful.
At least neb in them. I don't take it from a cover to cover. I'll jump around.
Yeah, very good. Well, David, this is a fascinating program, and we've certainly covered a lot of areas, and I'm looking forward to doing this again. I'm really liking this little part of it. However, as you know, what happens to us, we take a look at that clock on the wall, and then the engineer starts looking at us and saying, hey, you guys, it's time to wrap it up. So I must say goodbye for now, David, and reassure our listeners that we're going to do this again real soon.
Hey,
Gift Briner saying bye-bye for now.
I'm looking ahead, and I can see that we have 100 different questions that we want to answer for you in the next couple of weeks. Don't miss it. Turn that dial, 3 o'clock on Tuesday and Thursday and 8 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday. Get the two guys, the old men, that have something to say to the whole world. We'll be here. Don't miss it. Dave Clonin, along with Gift Briner. See you next time. Bye-bye.